happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup. Scanning through my emails looking for what did I do with those headlines.
And I'm looking there for them too. But because we're a little for toots because it was another terrible week for the Republic. Thanks to the reactionary Supreme Court, we're going to speak with Wayne Besson, who is the executive director of Truth Wins Out, about the decision of the court and what it implies for LGBTQ rights going forward.
It's really a mess. At your insistence, I read Sotomayor's dissent, and she let him have it. Yeah. But meanwhile, a Trump-appointed judge has found Tennessee's law against gender-affirming care for minors unconstitutional. And a similar law has been blocked in court in Kentucky.
And Massachusetts is making a bid for LGBTQ people and our allies in Texas and Florida to come to the welcoming Bay State.
But the front runners for the Republican nomination for president spoke in Philadelphia at the Conference of the Hateful Moms for Liberty.
That controversy in a Grand Rapids TV newsroom over a directive to tone down pride coverage has led to multiple firings.
Wow, it's a bloodbath there. An actual instance of violence. A woman with a pride t-shirt on was beaten on the subway in Brooklyn.
A Christian college has banned discrimination based on sexual orientation.
I guess, hell has frozen over. We lost some significant movement figures. Lily Vincennes, one of the mothers of the LGBTQ movement, was among them.
Prince William this past week knighted a man in a frock.
Who's a little wacky. The trial of Kevin Spacey for sexually assaulting four men is underway now in London.
That AIDS activist lawsuit against Gilead for, jacking up the prices of the drugs.
PrEP and drugs.
Yes. Yes. They lost.
And I will review the documentary The Stroll on HBO.
Let's bring our guest in.
Yes, let's do.
Our guest is, we welcome Wayne Besson. He's the executive director of TruthWinsOut.org, which he launched back in 2006. He's also the author of Anything But Straight, Unmasking the Scandals Behind the Ex-Gay Myth. And you started this group when George W. Bush invited ex-gays, so-called, to the White House back then. You worked at Human Rights Campaign prior to this, and you have kept an extremely close eye on the extreme right. So welcome to help us through talking about these decisions today, Wayne.
Thank you. It's an honor to be on, and it's great to be here with you. You've done such amazing work for so long and been really at the center of the movement. So thanks for having me today.
Oh, shucks, Wayne. Thank you. We feel the same about you. And we were particularly taken by your recent column about these current court decisions and all the work of the right wing and where we stand versus them. You were very sharp about that. So fill in our viewers about what you're thinking.
I think you have to look at all the decisions as a whole from a higher perspective. If you analyze it individually, you can get lost in the weeds. What I want people to know is that there are members of this Supreme Court who are part of a movement not looking out for America. And they have a fundamentalist vision. They want to bring us back to the 1950s. Some would say the 1850s. They have a view of women. We saw that with the abortion decision overturning Roe v. Wade. We saw this with affirmative action. We saw this with this new decision on LGBTQ people. And they are trying to recreate a society that's patriarchal and one that there are the white majority are first-class citizens and everybody else are second-class citizens. So I think you have to look at it that way. And when you look at how this court was constructed with Mitch McConnell, how underhanded it was, and how they have a court that doesn't care about precedent, it becomes into full view this portrait that's being painted of an out-of-control Supreme Court that wants to turn back the clock. And I think it should scare the hell out of all of us.
It's not just that they don't care about precedent, and they're overturning numerous precedents, but they also don't care about law or process. I mean, certainly in the website case, which is the gay case, there was no controversy. There was no complainant. And I don't just mean, you know, that later on they tried to affix one to their case who turned out to be a straight guy who never sent his name in to complain about anything. But there just was no case. She was just afraid if she started a website service and started to do same-sex weddings that she'd be shut down by Colorado. And also in the case of the student loans case, there was, again, the people who were bringing the case had no standing before the court. Any other court would have thrown it out. But they were so eager to stop Biden from doing something good for all these students that they stopped him.
Yeah, and it's particularly disturbing with a student loan case that you had two Supreme Court members with billionaire sugar daddies, Samuel Alito and Clarence Thomas, who were going out on these fancy vacations, even though they make plenty of money and don't need to. And these sugar daddies have cases before the court. So they live in this rarefied world, this bubble where wealthy people have no rules and everybody else can suffer and have to pay back. So everybody else needs to pull themselves up by the bootstraps while they get to go off and hunting trips. And even Clarence Thomas's mom, her house is paid for by Harlan Crow. So it's just kind of this two-tier system that they've created geared toward the ultra wealthy. In terms of the case you mentioned, the 303 Creative, I'm appalled by this. There was no standing at all. It was a fake case. They wanted to get results because, as I said, they're working for a movement, not America. And the entire thing was not really a case. It was like it was improv at the Supreme Court. It was mock court. This wasn't a real case. But they wanted a specific result, and that's exactly what they got. I'm for court expansion. I know there are problems with it, but the way this court was put in place by Mitch McConnell, how underhanded and unseemly this is, they are not legitimate, in my view, with what they
did. That can only be done if both houses of Congress
right.
and the president signs an expansion of the court. And again, the court has expanded and contracted over the years, even though they haven't changed the number 9 since about the 1860s. But we have more circuits now. We could have more judges, but it's up to Congress, and it's very hard to get control of Congress.
Well, that's true, but I think the Democrats should make that as a case. Say, if we win, this is what we're going to do. It took how many years? Over 50 years for the religious right to overturn Roe v. Wade? Yeah, I think we need to take the long view and say, yeah, we can't do this today, but this is what we're going to do if we win, and we are going to get rid of this corrupt court. We're going to put rules in place so they have to play by the same rules as everybody else, and they can't go on vacations with sugar daddies. So it's not something that could happen today, but I do think it needs to. We need to put it out there and put the motion, the wheels in motion to eventually get this done, because this is what we stand for.
Well, as you're pointing out here, and as you point out in your column, a lot of this is about the right wing being far more aggressive than we are on the left, and much more ruthless and much more dedicated to taking every opportunity they have, legal or not, to take power and accrue money and ignore the law. You know, Sotomayor points out in her dissent on this case that these laws against discrimination are supposed to be against people acting in a discriminatory way, not talking in a discriminatory way. And yet what the Supreme Court did was throw that all out, totally turn it upside down and make this illegitimate decision in an illegitimate case that they were going to define it as a speech case rather than an action case.
And she said, today, for the first time in history, the court grants a business open to the public a constitutional right to refuse to serve members of a protected class. That's from Sonia Sotomayor.
It just took me right back to Lester Maddox and his axe handles driving black people out of his restaurants in Georgia.
Yeah, and it reminds me, I mean, this is a glimpse of what they want. I think when you look what they really want, you can go to Florida with Ron DeSantis and the Florida rubber stamp Republican legislature that made it so people in the health care field don't have to work, don't have to help people based upon sexual orientation and gender identity. And of course, they covered race and religion and other categories. So they made it very clear that morality and conscience only applies to rejecting LGBTQ people. And I think that's what they really want. They want to be able to create a system where religious people, particularly fundamentalists, are elevated and everybody else has to bow down to their beliefs and consciences. Nobody else has a conscience. Nobody else has a belief, but we all have to bow down to theirs. We have preferences. They have beliefs. This is what they want, where those who are fundamentalists, Christians in particular, have free reign to do whatever they want. And there's nothing we can do about it.
Well, they want us to disappear. Now,
yes.
You've been following these right-wing groups for many years, and you're very familiar with the Alliance Defending Freedom and the Federalist Society and all these people. And unfortunately, what I hear on our side are a lot of things like, well, we've been pushing them too hard. We've wanted too much. We've gone beyond the limits of what we should be asking for. And people don't seem to realize that, in fact, this is a well-orchestrated campaign on the right that has been working for many years with untold amounts of money.
And I think that's become the crux of the problem. They have been flooded with money. Leonard Leo from the Federalist Society, the legal organization that's upended the judiciary, just received a $1.6 billion donation. $1.6 billion just flooded into the religious right. The Alliance Defending Freedom has money as well that's coming in. So I am very troubled by this. We have been heroic in the LGBTQ movement and the progressives in general, but we've been underfunded and we have been fighting, and maybe we can fight one message to 10 or even 100 to 1. But now it's looking like, if you go online, 1,000 to 1. And I think that's going to have an impact. I think we should be very concerned. More money needs to flow into both the LGBTQ movement and the progressive movement so we can fight back and play on an even field. It's a shame that American politics has come down to money, particularly dark money, but that is the world we find ourselves in.
Yes,
and we have to actually fight back on that playing field. Whether it's morally correct or not, we need more money flowing in right now, and that's just not happening because
Ever since Ronald Reagan was president, they've been, you know, dismantling progressive taxation. So billionaires keep everything. There's this enormous wealth inequality, and with all that extra money, they buy the government. So, you know, it's not like we have, you know, you say we need $500 million to fight back. Where's it coming from?
Or a billion. Well, we have billionaires, too. Our billionaires need to step up and give more, or we need to find new ones who haven't given yet. And you know what? Other money's not going to do them a whole heck of a lot of good if we lose our rights. If we have a situation where authoritarianism is the main form of government across the globe, their money, in the end of the day, will not protect them. You cannot be buried with that money. So they might as well spend it to try to preserve democracy, because it seems like we're asking a lot, but you know what? Those on the right, their millionaires and billionaires have done this. They're stepping up. They're doing it. Some of them, the money that Leonard Leo got, that $1.6 billion, he didn't have to go to a fancy dinner, didn't get his picture taken with movie stars. No, what happened? He did it very quietly. This was an industrialist outside of Chicago and gave this kind of money. And if we don't get this kind of money in the movement, we are going to be fighting an uphill battle. And I think it's horrible that money has meant so much to the system. But as you pointed out, since Reagan, they've dismantled our democracy. They have created a situation that's out of control with money buying off our political system. But in order to change that, to get it back to a place that's not so insistent and run by money, we actually have to play that game until we can do. We don't have to, and we're not playing it as effectively. Their folks are stepping up, and they are so flush right now, and that's why we see all these groups throughout the country right now. They're not hurting for anything, and in this fight, money matters more than when I started this and when we all started in this. It didn't matter as much. Now, that said, there is some. I'm going to give some good news, and that is that the right wing has a tendency to destroy themselves because they create a purity contest where nobody's holy enough, nobody's good enough, nobody's pure enough, nobody's MAGA enough, and they eat their own. We are seeing a lot of this right now. And they also cost more to lie, to maintain the fiction that they try to maintain. So it does cost them more money to do this. Maybe we get lucky and maybe they destroy themselves and the money just intensifies and expedites it, their destruction of themselves. But we have to say, though, we are getting outspent right now. And I think it's a very difficult situation.
Well, what did you think of the Moms for Liberty conference in Philadelphia? Of course, one of their headliners was Donald J. Trump. And Ron DeSantis was there, and I think Pence spoke as well. This is a group, it's one of those grass tops groups that really is not a grassroots group, but where do they get their money?
Well, it's an AstroTurf group, and it's one of these groups that they're all flush. They have more money than they know what to do with. Money's not a problem for them, and they're using it very effectively. Now, Moms for Liberty is a fraud. I mean, it's all for even moms, and they certainly don't believe in liberty. I'm proud of the people of Philadelphia that stood up and protested. I lived for several years in Philadelphia, and as Philadelphians, they know how to fight, and let people know what they think of them.
We have a picture of some demonstrators there because one of the things Moms for Liberty is behind is all the book banning.
Yes, and I have living in Florida right now. Ron DeSantis is at the center of this. It's very scary. In every authoritarian society, it begins with limiting what people can say and think. It's not that different. This control, whether it's transgender people trying to tell them, "Oh, you can't do what your doctor says," or a drag queen, "You as a man or woman, you can't wear this in our state. We're going to tell you what you can wear." Or for book banning, we're going to tell you what you can think and read. It's all part of the same thing: control. And Ron DeSantis, I created the website to fight him called Little Dictator Ron. It's littledickron.com, spelled D-I-C, littledickron.com. And it's very extensive, and it outlines on all the different places he has harmed Floridians with his authoritarian dictatorial bent. But these are scary people, and we are in precarious times. We are right now, as we saw with January 6th and Donald Trump, we're election or two away from losing a significant amount of our freedoms. And you could easily see a world where a Donald Trump or a Ron DeSantis, although if DeSantis isn't doing very well at the moment, but you could see somebody like that running the United States and then giving Ukraine to Russia. And suddenly you have Putin here and Xi over here and a Trump or a DeSantis here. And all of a sudden the world becomes a very scary place that's run with the hand of dictators. And freedom is limited. And so we have to fight like hell now to prevent this world from becoming a reality, because we saw a glimpse of it with the first Trump presidency. And, we saw it in other places, Bolsonaro in Brazil, for example. So this is a time when people are scared. It's a time of major change and people are easily manipulated. What concerns me when I mentioned the money earlier, it's not just the money, but it's a media machine that the right wing has created. They have 1,500 radio stations The left used to have more control on the internet and their messaging. Now the right has enormous control of the internet with the latest Elon Musk buying Twitter. We've lost that advantage. So they have a message machine that's unbelievable, that's pumping out poison toxins into the atmosphere. And we have not equaled that. And that concerns me as well. And we have to do something about that, because again, we cannot be, even if our message is smarter, it's fact-based, It's the volume of their false messages that are confusing people, that people don't know what's true and what's false anymore. And it might only get worse with some of the AI and the chatbots that are programmed by the right. So it's something we have to continuously look at, and we have to move on quickly. We have to get our messages out. And thankfully, that's what you guys are doing. But we need to get this out. We need to be in a situation where tens of millions of people see the show. Because the right wing, with all their money, are making sure that the Ben Shapiros of the world, their stuff's getting seen. Their stuff is, because of the money they're putting into it, they're investing in this media manipulation machine. And there's nothing comparable on the left. And that's what scares me right now. People are hearing their lies on an unprecedented scale. And we have to change that.
And they are shameless about lying. That's one of the things that really disturbs me. They have absolutely no morals. They are completely without any of that, while claiming, of course, the high ground. They are the lowest low ground. And how do you combat a tsunami of lies?
Well, first of all, money. We need our own. We all need our own radio stations, sir. But we can't be out. Our cars have become propaganda pods. Number one, on the internet, we need to fight the social media companies. The right has browbeaten them, where they are helping the right spread millions and millions and millions of these lies. Anybody on the left, if you've seen a lot of the left wing, the numbers are terrible compared to the right, and it's because they're getting censored. Anything you do on the left to fight back on the right, it's a community standards violation. Meanwhile, they degrade and dehumanize and demonize us nonstop. But the social media companies are afraid to do anything on the right because they'll be accused of censorship. Meanwhile, we're actually the ones getting censored on the left. So we have to fight that and get back. So that's also what we have to do. We need another cable station. We need to fight back and make sure Fox is a pay-per-view only station. With all the lies they've done, that they're still on the air, it's appalling to me. But it comes back again. They're spending a fortune on this, and we're not. That's what it comes down to.
We do have Free Speech TV, which carries a lot of progressive shows. Again, it's not messed up to theirs, but it is out there, and we're on there.
It is out there, and shouldn't one of a millionaire, a billionaire, be spending hundreds of thousands to advertise it? I mean, that's what the right's doing. Every single two bit. I'm sorry, but some of these people are even losers that they can't put two sentences together. But the right wing has bought them 100,000 followers and a following. I'm sorry, but they get the support. You know what? Anytime they write a book, it's practically illiterate. They put them on the New York Times bestseller list. The right wing buys their books to make sure they're on the sellers list to read it. We don't have that support. We got to make it on our own. Sorry, but it's not a fair playing field, and they just care more than we do right now. And until we get our act together and we start doing some of these things too, they're going to have some advantages. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to win, because again, it's harder to maintain a lie. They keep attacking each other, and they have this purity contest that has become so bizarre that you're putting people like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz, and people are just bizarre out there, and that it gets through too. And you know, eventually people see through it, and they are their own worst enemy.
But you have pointed out that, you know, this is all driven by a very cohesive fundamentalist church movement, and that extremism is alienating young people over time.
Yes, they're in a race against demographics, and we could win that as well. That's why they're so desperate. We just might get lucky. We might get lucky, and the demographics change, and enough young people come, and things just change. But that's why the next 10 years, even five, are so crucial right now, because we're going to see some demographic changes. But that's why they're trying to change the rules. They're trying to lock into place for lack of a better term, white supremacist infrastructure, where the majority has to play by their rules long after the demographics change. That's why they're so desperate in putting so much money into it. But that is what we're up against right now. And again, we could get lucky. Just one day it all changes. And the Fox News, their numbers sink, and people want something better for this world. But we have to get to that. We have to move to that point. So we've got to get through the next couple of election cycles that are, and I hate to say every time we say it, oh, this is the most important election of our lives, But for many years now, that has actually been true. And each one's more important than the next. And we saw what happened with Trump in those years and January 6th. It's very scary. But I also think that authoritarianism also was discredited to a large degree. We saw that their hero that they worship, Vladimir Putin, the right loved Vladimir Putin. And now, I mean, some of them still do. But the authoritarianism, I think, with not just his attack on Ukraine, but the way he suppressed his own people, has discredited that movement in the eyes of a lot of people. So I think that form of government, and also Bolsonaro losing in Brazil, I think it took a hit. But if you look at the right wing in our country, who are their heroes? Where did CPAC have their conference? Hungary, with the authoritarian Viktor Orban. But that tells you what they want and the vision they have for this country. They're telling us, this is what we want. We want to be like Hungary or, prior to that, Russia.
We appreciate your realism. We appreciate you staying on top of this. And we're going to keep reading you. And we're going to tell our viewers about you in our email this week. So they should go to your website, truthwinsout.org, and find out about it. And we really thank you for being with us. Unless you have another question, man.
No, thank you for doing the work all these years, Wayne. We appreciate your voice on all of this.
Well, thank you. And if anything good, you're going to keep fighting. I'm going to keep fighting. We're never giving up. There's no finish line. And we're going to be here to the end.
Well, there's ultimately a finish line. As we age. But yes, thank you.
Thank you, Wayne.
Okay. We'll see you soon. Bye.
All right. Well, we wanted to give people, the truth.
Yeah, it is true. And we wanted to come not just from us every week, but let you know that there are a lot of people out there.
Let's lighten it a little bit with some of these nice court decisions we got this week in Tennessee. A Trump judge, Eli Richardson, who previously upheld a ban on changing sex markers on birth certificates there, nevertheless ruled that the state's ban on gender-affirming care for minors was unconstitutional. Court acknowledges that the state feels strongly that the medical procedures banned by this law are harmful to minors, but the medical evidence on the record indicates otherwise.
And a judge in Kentucky has also declared unconstitutional a law. Well, he issued a temporary injunction against this law barring hormone treatments or puberty blockers for those under 18. This seems to be a nice little trend that judges of whatever ilk are understanding that people have to be able to make decisions with their doctors, with their families, with themselves, without the courts suddenly imposing these arbitrary rules.
The judge in Kentucky there was Judge David Hale. There he is. This was an NCLR case, and the Tennessee case was ACLU. These things don't happen on their own.
No.
We should also say that there was something in the Supreme Court a decision buried in the Moore versus Harper decision where they invalidated the independent state legislature theory. Thank goodness, my God, dodged a bullet there. But Judge Roberts wrote, "No state shall pass any law impairing the obligation of contracts." This is bad news for Ron DeSantis in his fight against Disney.
Yeah, it was a nuanced little dig at DeSantis because he's been trying to void the state's contract with Disney for their independent area and how laws are passed. And the Supreme Court says, watch it, because we're not going to allow that.
And the Supreme Court also affirmed that employers may consider the burden imposed by a requested religious accommodation on coworkers and determining whether the accommodation would harm the employer's business. So we had people on our side saying, okay, as long as we can prove that this is a burden, this was a postal worker in this case, then you can't just give them a special accommodation.
But at the same time, they're saying that businesses have an absolute right to have their own religious objections to information about birth control or doing anything for LGBTQ people. So it seems to me a little, it doesn't make sense. There's a word I'm searching for. It'll come to me at 3 a.m.
Well, as I said, we are kind of drifting into a confederacy here with these states. But so Massachusetts up here in New England, the out-governor, Healy there.
Laura Healy.
Yeah, their Office of Travel and Tourism has launched a billboard campaign in Florida and Texas, promoting Massachusetts as a welcoming and safe place for all, celebrating the diverse and inclusive nature of the state. It's called Massachusetts for Us All, and it pictures gay and lesbian couples. Healy invited people who care about freedom and civil rights to join us here in Massachusetts.
In Montana, a judge has slammed the state government for defying his order against the surgery mandate for gender change on their state documents, that they have to have had surgery. He ordered that illegal, and the state is continuing to impose it anyway. So he's ordered them to pay some court costs, but we may be getting to the crux of what actual power do courts have to enforce their decisions.
And we did mention Moms for Liberty. We wanted to, did we show the picture of the people demonstrating there?
No, yes, there it is.
Yes, there they are. These, again, because, you know, Moms for Liberty is all about book banning. And so, you know, they're out there. I mean, Nikki Haley was also there in addition to Trump and DeSantis.
Lots of demonstrations all weekend against the Moms for Liberty conference. They're an organization that is exactly 2 years old, and they have already accrued this incredible power with their lies.
And it's being used effectively in electing school board members around the country to the right wing. So got to pay attention at every level. I'm sorry, we're all tired, but, you know, we can't give up.
Yeah. Well, in San Diego, right wingers, a couple of right wingers, it doesn't take many, showed up at the local library where they had a pride display, and they checked out all the books. Now, the San Diego library says the books will be replaced, but come on.
The library allows each patron to check out 50 books at a time, so the bigots ought to be able to clear the stacks in no time. In Grand Rapids, Michigan, in that dust up at WOOD TV8 over a memo from the news director, Stanton Tang, to tone down the pride coverage and balance it with haters, Nexstar, the parent company, fired those responsible for the memo, but also fired two staffers who linked the memo and protested it. So people are very dispirited there and ready to leave Grand Rapids.
Well, my hero of the week is the mayor of Oswego, New York, a very upstate town on the banks of Lake Ontario, not a terribly progressive area in general. But someone tore down the pride flag that was flying to honor LGBTQ people in Pride Month. And the mayor said, well, luckily I have a spare, and put it up. And he said, you know, we have no idea what LGBTQ people go through on a daily basis, how they suffer from the looks they get and the rejection and the discrimination. And I am not going to be a part of that. And I invite all of us to think about this very seriously. Yeah, and so I found that a very heartwarming analysis and statement.
As opposed to the Supreme Court, which sort of opened the door, because the headline is, it's okay to discriminate against gays in some
right.
circumstances.
And yes.
You have the right to keep your speech, to tell them what you think of them, and to stop them, and all this kind of stuff. That's the horror of what happened there.
Well, and people do have a right to speech, but what they don't have a right to do is actually discriminate against people. Think what you want, say what you want. But you can't keep people out of your public accommodations business.
Right.
You
well,
can't say no gays, no blacks, no Irish, no whatever. You cannot do that if you are running a public business. But that's what the Supreme Court said this woman could do. And that is the really frightening part of this.
And we've told you about Nebraska State Senator Megan Hunt, who fought very hard against the anti-trans bill there, bills. She's filed a lawsuit against a far-right lobby group that accused her of being a groomer, making her fear and her for her safety and her child, her 13-year-old trans son, fearful. The filing documents hundreds of incidents of harassment that they've suffered after accusations from something called the Nebraska Freedom Coalition.
And we think of California as a very progressive place, but they're getting contentious in their legislature. Senate Republicans in California refuse to go along with a vote to honor Pride Month. Instead, they conducted a ceremony honoring Rick Grenell, and the Democrats walked out.
Well, speaking of gay Republicans, Ron DeSantis was slammed by what's left of the Gay Log Cabin Republican Club for an anti-gay ad that tries to make Trump seem pro-trans and pro-gay. He's also getting slammed by Iowa Republicans for outsourcing his ground game to a super PAC, which is bussing people in from out of state to show that he has supporters there.
Well, Rick DeSantis is getting slammed because his campaign reposted an independent video ad that somebody made that is just crazy, slamming Trump for being too pro-gay. They took some of his old statements, put them at the top of the ad, and then they had all this crazy stuff of DeSantis with lasers coming out of his eyes and movie clips that made him seem very macho. Pete Buttigieg was asked about it and said, what is it with DeSantis having to prove his macho-ness by being put between these oiled up, muscle-bound guys? Look very gay to me.
Right. And wonders never cease. A statue of Sally Ride, the first U.S. woman astronaut.
Oh, it's such an ugly statue.
And that's why I'm not showing it. And a lesbian to boot was unveiled at the, wait for it, Ronald Reagan Presidential Library as part of the July 4th.
Well, she went into space during his administration, so that's why it was there. Okay. But it's not attractive.
Right. Whitworth University in Spokane, Washington, which calls itself a Christ-centered school, added sexual orientation to its list of protected classes and non-discrimination policy after a year of discussion that was pushed by Whitworth's Pride Club.
Good for them.
A gay professor there who suffered through a lot, and she was partly behind pushing for this.
We told you last week that the heinous monster in Kansas, Chris Kobach, what is he now, the Secretary of State or Attorney General or something? He had outlawed trans people changing their gender markers. He said he was going to wipe them all out, not allowed anymore. Well, the governor has vetoed that. Governor Kelly, who is a longtime friend of ours and has supported our movement for many years, she's terrific.
Colorado Springs, a demand from the Freedom From Religion Foundation that the school district ban the Bible, based on the same criteria that gay-themed books were being banned. The group cited numerous examples of violent and explicit sexual passages and said, either ban the Bible or restore the other banned books. Said the district needs to hold religious books to the same standard. I wonder if the Supreme Court agrees with that.
You know that some of the controversy over treatment for trans youth has to do with drawing a line at surgery. But many young people have surgeries to, you know, get a nose job or breast implants or whatever. So a trans male 15 years old in the state of Washington and his parents are suing a health insurance company, Premera, because they won't approve his request for top surgery. And they're saying this is a double standard. You'll let all sorts of teenagers have surgery, cosmetic surgery, but you won't approve this.
Dylan Mulvaney, the trans influencer, is calling out Bud Light for not supporting her now, saying it would have been better if they had never hired her in the first place, if they weren't going to stand by her.
Well,
now,
sure.
Bud Light has 9% of Anheuser-Busch's revenue, and they've been dethroned by Modelo Especial, which also does LGBTQ outreach. But in the 4 weeks ending mid-June, volume of Bud Light has plunged 29% from the previous year. But, you know, and people will stay off these brands. I mean, I don't buy Berea Pasta and Coors, even though those boycotts have gone over. It all left a bad taste in my mouth from years ago. And there you go. That's what happens in business.
All right. And some real injury, trans woman in Puerto Rico, Chanel Perez Ortiz, 29 years old, discovered shot to death on a highway in Carolina, Puerto Rico. The trans murders continue.
In Brooklyn, a woman wearing a pink Pride t-shirt was viciously beaten on the C train, one of our trains, back on June 15th. A knock to the floor of the train, suffered a concussion, hearing problems, a concussion. Jadelyn Trinkle, her name is, happens to be married to a man, and she is the family's sole breadwinner while her husband pursues studies, and they're raising a 13-year-old daughter on the autism spectrum. She's missed a lot of work, and this is what happens when, you know, you don't have to be gay to get persecuted by anti-gay bigots.
And what do we think of Billie Jean King endorsing the idea of talking to the Saudis about negotiating for...
I think it's a terrible idea. Now, Billie Jean says, I mean, she's not running things in this case. She was asked about it. She says, I don't think you change unless you engage. And so the head of the WTA, the Women's Tennis Association, says they are in talks to hold an attorney there, a way to support progress for women. They think this is going to help women. Or are they going to let them wear? I don't know. But I just think the Saudis, stay away from it. You don't need that. We have some better stories about Billie Jean. She's getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame in 2024, and she's thrilled. And a Florida mom is trying to get I Am Billie Jean King banned in elementary schools.
Yes, a little biographical book. All right. Should we talk about some of the real heroes who we've lost this last week?
Please.
We'll start with Lily Vincennes, who was just a fantastic activist. She died at 85 years old in a nursing home in Virginia. She was outed and discharged from the Women's Army Corps in 1963, 60 years ago. She was the first woman to join the Mattachine Society
of Washington,
the only lesbian and plus nine men who participated in the first organized demonstration outside the White House in 1965. There you see her on the cover of The Ladder, which was a lesbian magazine. I think was she the first to show her actual face on the cover of The Ladder?
1966, and she became the first lesbian ever to appear on a magazine cover displayed on newsstands around the country. This was published by the Daughters of Bilitis.
She went on to become a psychotherapist, but one of her real contributions to history, and all of these are contributions, was that she filmed a lot of the early demonstrations. There are short films that she did of the Philadelphia Remembrance demonstrations in the early 60s and the first New York City Christopher Street Liberation Day march in 1970. And a few seconds of that Philadelphia demo appear in our opening sequence. She gave that to us. She corresponded with us. She watched AUSA. She was a lifelong activist who was engaged up till the very end.
And in 1969, she co-founded the gay newspaper that became the Washington Blade.
Yeah.
And her Arlington home was a locus of lesbian life in the 70s.
Yes, that's her. There she is with her partner, Nancy Davis, who died in 2019. When asked what it was she wanted to do, she said she wanted to be with gay people, help the movement, help unmask the lies told about us, correct the notion of homosexuality as a sickness, and present it as it is, a beautiful way to love. And that picture there was taken in surreptitiously in the White House. She was invited to the White House a few years ago and went with Bob Wittick, who was a great publicist and activist for the movement. Can you put that up again? And so they're walking around the White House, and one of the displays is of these signs that were carried in the early demonstrations. So Bob placed her in front of one of them and took this picture without permission, But there she is in the White House.
Wonderful. She's a true pioneer.
Yeah.
We also lost Minnie Bruce Pratt, poet, educator, and activist. She died at 76 in Syracuse, retired from being a professor of writing and women's studies at Syracuse University, where she helped develop the first LGBTQ studies program. She was a native of Selma, Alabama, but back in 77, she founded Women Rights, a Southeastern Lesbian Writers Conference. In 78, Feminary, a Southern Feminist Writers Collective, part of LIPS, a D.C. Lesbian Direct Action Group. In 1990, her book, Crimes Against Nature, about losing custody of her children, was published. And she was the widow of Leslie Feinberg there, the author of Stone Butch Blues, and is survived by two sons.
They were together for many, many years, a legendary couple in the lesbian community. And we also lost Dr. Susan Love, who was bravely out as a lesbian while being the world's greatest authority on breast cancer. She died at 75 of leukemia. She was a breast cancer surgeon and activist. In 1991, she founded the National Breast Cancer Coalition, and she also had the Dr. Susan Love Foundation, and wrote Dr. Susan Love's breast book, which was really the Bible of breast cancer. She was considered a radical and revolutionary because she fought against the medical standard of mastectomy for all breast cancer. She said, no, we don't have to go that far all the time. Lumpectomy should be examined before mastectomy. We should be helping women maintain their body parts rather than losing them without need. She was out very early and was a role model for lesbians as such a prominent doctor.
She felt the need to be a role model. Her book sold 500,000 copies. She was adamant that there was limited utility for mammograms in younger women. I mean, these are the kinds of things that she brought to the fore. She's survived by her wife, Dr. Heather Sperry Cooksey. Helen Sperry Cooksey.
They were the first Massachusetts married couple to, actually before marriage, who achieved a lesbian couple adoption of their daughter. And now we have about 10 minutes left, so let's zip along.
Well, they had pride in Vilnius, Lithuania. It's still one of the only EU countries without civil partnerships, even no less marriage, but there were tens of thousands of people out in the street for that.
And they had pride in London, also with tens of thousands of people, but they took a pause in the middle to hold a demonstration at the Uganda High Commission, because Uganda has passed its even worse kill the gays bill. So there are a lot of Uganda emigres there in this demonstration.
Also in the UK, Prince William visited the Royal Vauxhall Tavern there. You see it on the screen. The oldest gay pub in the country. This one was visited by Diana with Freddie Mercury once. He talked about mental health issues for youth there as part of Pride marking, and which is one of his favorite charities, mental health. And he apologized for not wearing a sequin dress.
That's a little tacky, but he did make up for it.
Thanks to our London viewer, Robert, for the story.
Yeah. He made up for it later by holding a ceremony at Windsor Palace, where he knighted the very famous artist, Grayson Perry, who won the Turner Prize in 2003. Grayson was in his persona of Claire. Claire?
Yes, that's correct.
In Burgundy Taffeta. But Grayson is a hell of an artist. I was very taken by this. The Upper Class at Bay is the title of this tapestry. I have to look into Grayson's work a little more deeply.
Well, He's married to a woman who used to live as a lesbian. I mean, his sexuality is rather complicated, and we're going to link to a video of him explaining it.
Okay.
A UK court has rejected the government plan to fly refugees to Rwanda, where they're not going to be safe, especially LGBTQ ones.
And Kevin Spacey, age 63, now on trial in London for sexual assault against four men, a total of 12 charges, between 2001 and 2013. He claims every encounter was consensual. Those charging him disagree. We'll see.
He says an acquittal could revive his acting career. In Kenya, Netflix and Netflix Africa, they signed an agreement that ends the streaming of LGBTQ-specific movies in compliance with these countries' repressive laws.
That's how desperate Netflix is these days. Nepal will now register same-sex marriages. They have legalized same-sex marriage in Nepal. They've been inching towards this for a long time, and now it's happening.
In Taiwan, a Taiwanese teen, 18, Little Lai, who had just become heir to a $24 million inheritance, was found dead 2 hours after the ceremony. And then, of course, they suspect the guy who married him, and they're trying now to annul the marriage retroactively so that the money doesn't pass to this guy.
In Hong Kong, in the middle of a busy commercial mall, a guy knifed to death this lesbian couple on the left. He had just bought the knife within a couple of hours before doing this. So the thinking is that he saw them, hated them, bought the knife, and killed them.
Okay. All right.
FIFA, the World Soccer Organization, has the Women's World Cup coming up at the end of this month in Australia and New Zealand, and they have decided to let players wear a variety of armbands, including a rainbow armband, but not quite an LGBT rainbow. Okay. It'll be a nuance people won't notice.
We want to give our apologies to our pal, Donna Aceto. We used her excellent photos, that's Donna, from the Larry Kramer Memorial last week, and we failed to acknowledge her work, and we love her. So we hope that won't happen again, Donna.
Well, we hope not, but we've been very off and on about remembering to thank her. She supplies a lot of photos we use on this show. They're really terrific. She's covered the communities and the movement for many years, and her work appears in Gay City News and a lot of other places, and we always want you to know that Donna is behind a lot of those cameras taking those pictures.
So activists and others sued Gilead for $3.6 billion, saying you're violating antitrust laws, you keep extending patents and all this kinds of things. It's all corrupt. And a jury found Gilead not guilty and has allowed this to happen. It's a great burden on people with HIV/AIDS who need these drugs, who have to pay so much more for them because of these shenanigans.
Well, this is the second big win for Gilead in the last month or so. They beat a government suit against them for taking all this money when the government actually invented the drugs. So I don't know what you have to do to get Gilead, but it's not good.
Go ahead, The Stroll.
Oh, The Stroll is wonderful. It's a new documentary playing on HBO and Max. You can catch up with it. It's all about the meatpacking district here just a mile from us here in New York City. And it's where the trans sex workers for years made a living when they couldn't get hired in any other kinds of jobs. And it's about how they've been pushed out by gentrification. It's about the activism they performed over the years. There's wonderful, wonderful, lots of old footage of Sylvia Rivera and Marsha P. Johnson, Cecilia Gentile and Cayenne Dora Show, more contemporary. Really, really worth watching. It's much more sophisticated and in-depth than what you usually see. The Stroll on HBO.
And speaking of HBO and HBO Max, starting Sunday, July 9th, they're going to be running Last Call about this gay serial killer who operated in the 80s and 90s and maybe other times. It's a four-part series. Gay USA contributed a bunch of footage to it as well. So here's the trailer for that.
It's in all of us. That fear of being hurt. because we're queer.
Thank you, New York, for being so fabulous.
I remember the first gay bar I walked into. I thought, oh my God, I've been missing this my entire life. It just felt like home.
Queer bars were one of the few places where we could come and feel safe.
And then all of a sudden, everything was taken away.
Dismembered human remains were found in plastic bags along roadways outside New York City.
My dad went down to New York on a business trip and never came home.
My brother,
my uncle,
my friend,
he just disappeared.
These were pickup crimes. They were last seen at a gay bar, Five Oaks, the townhouse.
Clearly, a serial murderer going after gay men was on the loose.
It was so frightening because everyone was a suspect.
The queer community was very much trying to push law enforcement to give it.
At this time, we wouldn't put it past the police to kill us.
Hate crimes against gays and lesbians are up all over the country.
It makes people feel like maybe they're not safe and maybe a murderer isn't going to get caught.
We were scared. This guy is going to strike again. Then could I be next? Peter Anderson,
Thomas Mulcahy,
Anthony Marrero,
Michael Sicaro.
They weren't just a statistic. They had their own story, too.
This guy was a serial killer for years.
Was he going to make a mistake?
How does someone get away with something like that?
Heroes of this story are the activists, especially from the Anti-Violence Project, like Matt Forman and Bea Hansen, who were out there pushing the police department to do something. And that was very hard. And of course, the families of some of these victims who were out there pushing the police when they would do nothing.
And yet another HBO home run for Pride Month was the Rock Hudson documentary, All That Heaven Allowed, which finally is a full-length documentary about Rock Hudson's gay life. Very matter of fact, lots of footage, lots of his exes interviewed. I found it quite absorbing, more so than I expected. And getting great reviews is Everybody, which is opening in theaters, which is about intersex people. And that's getting a lot of good attention. I haven't seen it, but that could be good. And congratulations to Jay-Z's mom, Gloria Carter. There they are together. She married her longtime partner, Roxanne Wiltshire. Jay-Z, we told you years ago when he came out with a song, Smile, about his mother coming out to him as a lesbian. And now she's married her partner.
Well, thanks for being with us. I mean, we know it was a tough week. You know, we try to give you hope, but we also try to give you a realistic picture of what's going on. We thank you for your support and for your tuning in and listening.
And we'll be back next week. Thank you.